teaching pastors here at Fellowship, and we sure are glad that you're with us. If you're new with us, I want to encourage you after the service to drop by the Connection Center. We got some great things out there, even have a gift for you that we'd love to give you today if you're a first-time guest with us today. So make sure you do that. I got to tell you, I'm excited about today. I've been waiting for today for a long time. We are beginning a new series, as Jason said a few minutes ago, and we are calling this series Transform. And it'll be a four-week series. And you got a little bit of a sense when you were watching that video, a sense of the vision, the energy, and the passion of really what Transform is all about, because Transform is ultimately about people. That's what it's about. It's about people. It's not about sticks and bricks. It is about people. And the mission that we feel like that God has given us here at Fellowship Cabot to see even more people reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, the church is not a building, it's a people. It's a group of people who are committed to Jesus and his mission, the mission that Jesus lays out for us as his people in Matthew 28. And so what we get excited about when it comes to Transform is the opportunity we have to advance this mission here in Lone Oak County and even beyond in even greater ways than we've been able to see in our 10 plus years. And so you know what? I get excited about the potential of new ministry space, but what I get more excited about is the opportunity we have to see even more lives transformed by the life-changing power of Jesus Christ together. So what I want to do today, really at the outset, I thought it might be helpful for us to take just a moment here and talk a little bit about the what of Transform, and then we'll spend a little bit of our time today and certainly over the next 3 weeks talking a lot about the why of Transform. Now, you should have received this, and this talks a lot about the what, but I want to speak a little bit about the heart behind this. If you've been around here a while, you know that for several years now, you may not feel it today, but for several years now, we've been pressed for space. We feel that sometimes in our Sunday mornings, that we have people that have to sit out in the lobby. We feel it in our kids' space. We feel it in the reality that we don't have any dedicated student space. And in reality, without more ministry space, really what we're doing is putting a lid on what we feel like God might want to do through us here in Lone Oak County. And so over 6 months ago, our elders on this campus, along with Jason, began to work with an architect to begin to dream what would it look like if we had the opportunity to expand our ministry campus here so that we can reach more people here in Lone Oak County. And so they began to work on that, and I got to tell you, I'm pretty excited about what they've come up with. Here's just a couple of pictures of that. One of the pictures is a picture of the worship center there. You see me kind of sitting to the far left. See the bald guy there kind of right under the screen there? That's me. No, I'm just kidding. But this is one of the shots of the worship center, and then you see a shot of the outside of the building as well. And as you kind of see these two shots, what comprises all of this is really a new worship center that seats about 450 people, so it's double what we have today. There is more kids' space. There's dedicated student space. And one of my favorite parts, there's a new coffee bar and a lobby. And so that's going to be really cool. It'll be a place for us to hang together and spend time together. So that really kind of gives you an idea a little bit just about the what of the building. You probably noticed when you came in that there's some more detailed drawings or renderings out in the lobby. I want to encourage you, if you didn't get a chance to look at those, maybe after the service today or even next week, just take a moment, drop by there, take a look at that. Next week, we'll actually have some short informational meetings right after each service where you can ask questions, you can talk, you can see a little bit more detail about the plans, and want to encourage you to be a part of that next week. But I got to tell you, I'm pretty fired up thinking about how God might use this new ministry space to really transform lives here in Lone Oak County. You know, our mission here at Fellowship Cabot is to make disciples who live by God's grace and for His glory at home and across the world. And one of the things that's really been challenging us in that has been our ministry space and really our lack of it. And so we're really excited about the opportunity of what God might be up to through Transform. So let's talk a little bit about what it's going to take to actually kind of pull this off. There's some cost obviously associated with this new ministry space. We feel like the total cost of that is going to be around $4 million. And what that comprises in that number, of course, is the new building, but also what is in that number is a remodel of this existing space so that we can make this more effective and more functional moving forward. And what we hope to be able to do is to pay this off is we have about $700,000, really probably plus, from our other campuses that are going to be given towards this project. If you're new to us, we're actually one church that meets in multiple locations throughout Central Arkansas. And so there is a group of people out there that believe in what God's already doing here in Lone Oak County and are saying, you know what, we want to be a part of what God's doing there. And we believe that God's going to do even more, and so we want to be a part of that. So we have about $700,000 plus in cash that's already been given towards that. We hope to see God raise up another 1.8 through Transform in commitments. We'll talk a little bit more about that here in a moment. And if there's a balance there, we'll finance that balance. And we feel really good about that plan. We feel like that's a good plan because it helps us to be good stewards. Good stewards in the sense that it allows us the opportunity to add new ministry space, but doesn't put us in a compromising situation with our finances where we're somehow overextended financially. We feel like this is a real doable plan for us. So our hope is that once we get $1.5 million in cash, the good news is we already have over $700,000 that's been given to it. Our hope is to be able to break ground on the new ministry space. We'd love to be able to do that in August or September, weather permitting. If this weekend is any indication, weather probably will not permit for that. But that's our hope and our desire to be able to do that. And so here's really what that means for you. We're asking you to begin to pray now about how God might use you to be a part of helping to continue to transform lives here in Lone Oak County, and really to begin to pray about how you might participate, every one of us participating in that. And so we're asking you to begin to pray about that, to begin to think about that, and what we'll be asking you to do specifically is to make a 3-year commitment, financially speaking, over and above what you might already be giving here at Fellowship Cabot to help us be able to move forward on this ministry space. You should have received a little card. I have one here in my pocket. It kind of looks like this. If you didn't receive one, you can grab one on your way out. This is a commitment card. And what we're asking you to do is sometime over the next few weeks to begin to pray and to think about, you know, would God have me be a part of what He's already doing here and what He wants to do in the months and weeks and years ahead. And we're going to have a commitment Sunday on April the 29th, and we're asking you to prayerfully get your commitment in before April the 29th. Now, if you're ready to commit before the 29th, that's great. There's a couple of ways you can do that. Well, we have a Transform box out there in the Connection Center, and so you can take this commitment card, you can drop it in there, or if you prefer to go online, you can make a commitment online at Fellowship Online. fellowshiponline.com/transform. And you can make an online commitment there. You can find out, of course, a lot of information on that website as well about Transform. So that's a lot about the what of Transform. And we really asked our leaders to kind of consider and pray about jumping in with us here on Transform. And I got to tell you, I'm really encouraged so far by the response that we've gotten about Transform and our future here, and look forward to on the 29th of us being able to commit together and move forward in this thing that I think God wants to do here in Lone Oak County and beyond. So that's a lot about the what. Let's take some time now, today, and certainly in the weeks ahead, to talk a little bit about the why of Transform. Today we want to talk primarily about God's desire to really transform the one. We'll talk more about that, what we mean by that. Next week we're going to talk about God's desire for the community, to transform the community through this place. And then his desire to transform the world. And then we're going to talk about for his kingdom the last week of this series. So why don't you grab your Bibles, excuse me, make your way with me to Luke chapter 15. If you don't have a Bible with you, I encourage you to maybe take out your phone and follow along with us as we talk about Luke chapter 15. If you're not really familiar with the Bible, Luke 15 is one of my favorite chapters. As we think about this whole idea of God's desire to really transform the one, Luke 15 is all about that. In Luke 15, Jesus really tells three parables. He tells the parable of a lost sheep, and then a lost coin, and then a lost son. Now, sometimes we refer to this last parable as the prodigal son. And some of you may have heard of that story before. But Jesus here is really showing us something in Luke chapter 15 about the heart of God and how much God really loves people. And in turn, how we, as his followers, ought to love people. And not just any people, but people who are really far from God. The lost, the disconnected. Sometimes the scriptures call these people lost. And here in Luke 15, Jesus will use the word sinners to speak about these people. And this, God's heart is for the broken and the lost and the sinners in this world. Jesus uses an interesting word here in Luke 15. One of the things when you look at the scriptures, one of the things you want to look for is repetition when you read the Bible or study the Bible. Interesting, Jesus uses a word here 8 times. It's the word one. One. Jesus is making a point here that when it comes to God's heart for the lost, every one matters. Everyone matters. God's heart really goes out to all of those who are broken and lost and who are far from him. Look at verse 7 here as Jesus wraps up the first parable of the lost sheep. Look what he says, verse 7. He said, just so, I will tell you there will be more joy in heaven over how many sinners? One. Thank you. One sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Verse 10, wrapping up the parable of the lost coin, he says, just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. See, Jesus here is revealing something about the heart of the Father. He wants us to know that God's heart is for the wayward, for the broken, for the lost, for the sinner. That God cares about even one. And so as a community of faith, as a church, what Transform is all about is it's about the one. This desire that we have that maybe God would use us to see even more people who are disconnected from the Father find faith in Jesus Christ. And so what happens here is Jesus tells these parables and he really drives this point home about transforming the one with this last story called the prodigal son. And let's pick it up in verse 11. There's actually 3 characters in this parable. You have the younger son, who's oftentimes referred to as the prodigal. You have the father, who is God the Father in this story. And then you have the older brother. We're not going to spend a lot of time on the older brother for time's sake, but the older brother is In this context, it represents kind of the religious elite, the Pharisees, the Sadducees of the day. Using our language, we might say these are church people. The older brother's kind of a part of the church world. And so that's kind of who he represents. But verse 11 says this, and he said, there was a man who had 2 sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that's coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all that he had, and he took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. And so he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of the father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? And I will rise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven. Before you, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate." Now, we learn from this story that there are two kinds of people that are living here in Lone Oak County. Did you know that? There are some that are choosing to do life where they are living at home with the Father. And then there are some that are choosing to do life away from the Father. Two kinds of people. Now, when you do life at home with the Father, you experience His presence and His power in your life. Why? Because you're living your life in close proximity to the Father. When you live at home with the Father, you orient your life around His values and His ways and His purposes. When you're at home with the Father, you feel a certain joy and purpose in your life. You feel it really at the heart level. You kind of know what the direction and the purpose of your life really is all about when you live at home with the Father. Now, the other way people can choose to live their life is away from the Father. Using the language of this story, you'll notice in verse 13, it says that the son went to live in a distant country, away from the Father. And when you live in a distant country, away from the Father, you don't really think much about the Father, because you spend most of your time thinking about yourself. You don't have any real purpose in your life because you're really just kind of living for your own ideals and your own desires. And if you're honest on the inside, you feel pretty isolated and alone and oftentimes empty because you don't have any real purpose because you're disconnected from the Father. And when you live away from the Father, you may look good on the outside, but you don't have any real joy where it really matters at the heart level. And let me tell you, friends, we've got thousands and thousands of people living right here in Lone Oak County who are living away from the Father. And part of what Transform is all about is us going after those who are living away from the Father so that they might experience the joy and the life that can only come through the Father. So there are two ways you can choose to live life. We can choose to live at home with the Father, or we can choose to live our life away from the Father. And when you choose to live your life away from the Father, let me just tell you, sooner or later there are consequences to that. When you choose to live your life in sin, there's all kinds of guilt and shame and regret and pain, just to name a few. And sooner or later, when you live this way and you chase after sin and you run from the Father, you eventually are brought to the place where you come to your senses and you realize and you wake up that this life isn't all that you thought it would be. And that's exactly what happens to this younger son. Look what he says in verse 17. I love this. It says, "But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of the father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I love the way the NIV translates this. It says, when he came to his senses. When he came to his senses. Have you ever had a moment in your life where God rattled your cage and brought you to your senses? Ever had a moment where maybe you came to the end of yourself, came to the end of your sin, and God brought you to your senses? Man, I've had several moments in my life like that. Maybe the most dramatic and most powerful was when I was in college. Some of you know my story, some of you don't, but I didn't grow up in the church world. I spent a good bit of my early life living away from the Father, living, using the language and the vernacular of this story, living in a distant country. And so I went to the University of Arkansas and really was blessed enough to get a football scholarship up there. And I'll tell you, if you want to live away from the Father, there's no better place to go. And so what I did is I just really threw myself and my life into going from party to party to party. Now, you would have never known it on the outside, but on the inside, I felt isolated, alone, and empty. And I'll never forget one morning, just waking up, and I still remember the moment. I didn't realize in all that was happening to me at that time, but I'm able to look back now, knowing all that I know, and see that in this moment, God brought me finally to my senses. I'd really come to the end of myself and come to the end of my sin, and I realized that, you know what? I was alone and empty and isolated, and there was no real joy or purpose in my life. And I realized in that moment that I was living away from the Father. And I wanted more for my life than just drinking and partying and waking up the next day and doing the exact same thing. And I was empty. And as I kind of look back on that, what I realized in that moment is God was waking me up in his grace and in his mercy. And he's doing that here with the younger son. Have you ever had a moment like that in your life? Where God just, you go out and you just run away from the Father, and all of a sudden it's like he wakes you up. You come to the end of yourself. Sometimes it's pain, it's shame, it's guilt, it's hurt. It's all of those consequences, and they just come upon you. And it's overwhelming. And that's what's going on with the younger son here. See, here at Fellowship, our desire, our hope, our prayer really, as we think about all of these people here in Lone Oak County and Cabot and Jacksonville and BB, as we think about all these people that are living away from the Father, our hope and our prayer is that God will work in their life in such a way that they'll finally come to their senses. And when they do, that they'll come back home to the Father, to this place, and to experience the life-changing love and grace and hope of Jesus. That's what this is about. And that we would be able to play a huge part in that. So the younger son, the wayward son, man, he's in pain. He's hurting. And so he's ready to head back to the Father. He's realized that life away from the Father is not all it's cracked up to be. And so he starts to head back home in verse 18. Look what he does. He says, I will arise and go to my father, and I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. So the son, the younger son, feels like he's blown it so badly that there's no way that his father's going to take him back. So he says, you know what? I'm going to come up with a plan here. I'm going to go back as a servant. As a hired servant, what I'm going to do is I'm going to work my way back into my Father's good graces. If I perform the right way, if I do the right things, maybe he'll love me again. Maybe he'll make me a son again, and he'll welcome me back to the family. That's what he's thinking here. Now I share this because I think a lot of you are living this way. When it comes to God's love and his affection and the way you see yourself. There's a part of you deep down inside that believes that you got to work a little harder. You got to do a little bit more. You got to perform in a certain way for God to love you and to accept you. you've got something to prove to the Father. Just like the young son felt like he had to prove something to his father. And friends, here's what I want you to hear. If you don't hear anything else today, God loves you. And let me take it a step further. He loves the real you. Not the you that you should be. I'm talking about the real you that's sitting in the chair this morning. The truth about who you really are. See, in all of our lives, there's a huge difference between who we should be and who we really are. Between the should be and what is. And see, a lot of us in here, we're real familiar with who we should be. We know the kind of person that we should be. We know the kind of parent that we should be. Man, we know the way our kids should be, don't we? We know the way our marriage should be. And then there's the reality. The reality of what's really going on in your heart, in your life, in my life. I'm talking about the person that you really are. And it's the gap between what is the real you and what should be that causes us to hide from each other and to polish our story and think that we have to perform and work hard, not only that others might love us and accept us, but even God would love us and accept us. And listen to me, what I love about Luke chapter 15, what I love about the story of the prodigal, this is why I told you this is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. What we see in this passage is God the Father loves the real you. What is in your life? That there is forgiveness and salvation for the real you. He's not waiting on some improved future version of you. That just maybe if you perform and do the right things, he just might love you. No, God sees everything about you. He knows all the stupid things you did in college and high school. He knows all the stupid and sinful stuff you're doing right now. And guess what? He's so big, so great. He knows all the stuff you're even going to do in the future. He sees all of it in totality right now, and he still loves you. He still welcomes you home. You don't have to perform. You don't have to earn his love, as if you even could. Jesus has done all of that for you and for me. That's what makes this story so beautiful. You just have to come to the Father. And that's what the younger son does. And look how the father responds to him in verse 20. The story just gets even more incredible. Verse 20, and he arose and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. Now, do you realize what we just read? That's one of the most amazing statements in the whole Bible. In fact, if you have a pen and you love to mark things in your Bible, whatever you do, put an asterisk by this. Who is the father in this story? I told you earlier, who is this? It's God. Now, think about that. God loves you so much that when you take the first step home, he comes running to embrace you, to love you, to welcome you back home into the family. I mean, this is crazy to think about. This man loses his dignity, his honor. I'm sure the whole town is gathered there. They've been chirping and gossiping about this man's son who has squandered his inheritance. He's lived out here. They can't wait to see what happens when he comes back. And the father can't wait for him to get to him. So the father runs to him with this reckless, crazy love. wraps his arms around him and embraces him. In fellowship, that's the heart of God. That's what God is all about. Now, I got to tell you, this is a challenge to me personally. And I'll tell you, it's a challenge to us, fellowship. Because what's true of God the Father should be true of us also. We're his followers. We're Jesus' followers. What's true of Jesus and what's true of the Father should be true of us. 1 Corinthians 12 says that we're his body. That means that this should be true of us collectively. That this campus would be on mission, that as a people, together with God the Father, we would be going after the one. I'm talking about those who are outside of these walls, who are living away from the Father, spiritually disconnected from God. That's what Transform is about. It's about being on mission, a mission that Jesus has called us to for the one that's right here. We don't have to go looking for them. They're in your neighborhood. They're at your workplace. They're on your baseball team. They're all around you who need the life and the hope that can only be found by living at home with the Father. And so this son comes and really throws himself on his Father's mercy and grace. And look what the Father does in verses 22 and 24. He throws a party for him. Here's what it says. It says, "But the Father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hands and shoes on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate.'" There's a party about to happen. "For my son was dead, and now he's alive. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. The Father celebrates the return of this wayward, lost, sinning son. He welcomes him home. Son doesn't know what to expect. He thinks he's got to go back as a servant. He's going to have to do certain things, perform a certain way, kind of work his way back. And when he gets there, his father runs to him in a sheer act of grace and mercy and embraces him and loves him. This is the same God that we come in here every Sunday and sing about, the same God that we worship. It's a God who loves you. Isn't it interesting that the Father does three things for the Son here? First, he gives him a robe. That robe represents honor. For a man or a father, the robe is something he would wear at kind of fancy parties or large social gatherings in the community. This was a way to really honor his son. He restores the honor of his son in this moment. And then notice he gives him a ring. Back in this day, oftentimes family members would wear a ring, and it was a way of communicating identity or authority. As you wore this ring, you were able to almost speak on behalf of the family. Oftentimes, you might even use that ring in a legal setting to stamp a document. And so in this moment, the father's saying, "Listen, I'm restoring all authority back to you." And then lastly, notice he gives him a pair of shoes, which really represents prominence. Shoes weren't worn by slaves or servants back in this day. They were primarily worn by those who were wealthy. He's restoring him back to this place of prominence. What a beautiful picture of what salvation looks like. And when you finally come home and you throw yourself on the grace and the mercy of the Father, what he does is he gives you everything in salvation, doesn't he? Honor, identity, respect, authority. He gives you a new identity. He changes everything about you. What a beautiful picture. That's what Transform is all about. It's about seeing those who are living away from the Father coming home. and experiencing the life-changing power of Jesus, where hope and life and power is really found. And I hope that would be true of us, Fellowship. So much so that people in this community would dub us as the church who welcomes home sinners. That's what people would say about this place. You know, as we close, what I love about this story is that the father throws a party for his son. Isn't that cool? He throws a celebration. You know, as I think about that, I sure would hope, Fellowship, that we would throw a lot of parties around here. That in the best sense of the word, we would be a partying church full of partying people. And the reason that we're partying is because all that Jesus is doing, all that God the Father is doing in changing lives here in Lone Oak County and beyond for the glory of his name. That's what this is about. It's not about a building. It is about people. It's about changed lives. It's about the thousands of people that live in this county that are far from God, living away from the Father. And our hope is that we could be the kind of place that welcomes them home to experience the life-changing power of Jesus. Why? Because the Father welcomed us home, didn't he? We threw ourselves at his grace and mercy. He changed our lives forever. And this story is for us. What's true of God the Father and what's true of Jesus, may it be true of us, his people. We would be for the one. Let's pray together. King Jesus, we realize that we cannot do any of this in our own strength, that transform is really about you. Because you've transformed our hearts, you've transformed our lives, we're begging of you that you would begin that transformation in Lone Oak County and beyond. And God, there are so many in this room, there are so many in this county that are living away from the Father, that we would be the kind of church, that we would be the kinds of people, that just like the Father in this story, that we would welcome and we would encourage those around us who are far from you to experience the life-changing power and hope and presence of you. God, you've already done so much here, and we're asking and begging of you to do so much more through Transform. This isn't about a building, it's about you, it's about your mission that you've called us to. And that mission is to go after the one who is lost, the one who is broken, the one who is wayward. We were that person, but you came after us. So would you help us to do the same? In Jesus' name.